Hi, I'm Grant from Angry Koala and welcome to my office. I actually work in an industry where I use Microsoft technologies and users get generally excited and drag each other into meetings. And one of the things we use is Pivot Collections here, and it's a free tool from Microsoft. I can do high resolution photos and yet I can zoom back out and look at everything. It's sort of cool to do things by color. I can look at t-shirts and then I can say, well, I want to see everything that are men's t-shirts. Actually show it via profitabilities. Power Pivot allows us to hold a phenomenal amount of data. This is a technology that's in memory, so it's just amazingly fast. So what's happening at the moment, it's loading it off disk, and it's actually a lot of data. I'll show you how much data in a moment. If it's ATM transactions from one of my clients, just down the bottom here, you see there's 24 million rows. So it's 24 million rows inside of Excel. I can drill up and down as though that's just a few thousand records. And also I can sort. Let me get that started while we have a bit more of a chat. So largest to smallest. Oh, okay, it's done. It's literally instant. It's in memory. It's amazing. Here's a pivot table, our existing worksheet, and if we take those withdrawals, so that's how many withdrawals. There we have it. And we can say, what's the nature of the business? Which goes there. Okay, and then we're going to try a double spin. Whoa! We seem to drop one, etc. So that's pretty well what I do from day to day. So I build that layer over the top. I use these incredibly exciting technologies to do it. And through community and through our friends who now work with me in college, I have this exciting life where I help businesses really get at their own data. But outside of technology, I actually have a lot of fun. On my travels, I go to Redmond a lot to hang out with the guys that build the technology at Microsoft. And on the way, I often have a bit of fun and weekends back in Australia. So a wonderful thing about technology is I can work from home. This is my office. Welcome to my office.
You shot it out, but I can't hear a word you said. I'm talking loud, not saying much. I'm criticized, but how I are, but that's because I shoot me down, but I get up.
Okay, you'll learn a little bit more about me.
My general manager is just here. He's wondering when I do the work part. All right. So, my name is Grant Paisley. You're here for some examples from PowerPivot, and basically real-world examples. Actually, I'm going to ask everyone to do a favor. There's going to be more people coming in. Can we sort of push along from the outside? Sorry, guys. Otherwise, people are going to be climbing over you all the time. Grab the front. You better stay, otherwise you won't be able to see the screen. Let's see, here we go. Thank you. So if you want to contact me, you can grab me on that, grant@angrykoala.com.au, SQL MVP, and run the SQL Server User Group back in Sydney. And today I'm going to talk about motorbikes and other things. So this is Ducati Multistra. Any motorbike riders here? Oh, wow. Okay, cool. Almost a third of the audience, I reckon, by my reckoning. That's about 160 horsepower. It is fast. The free part, it's not free, but the company bought it, and it's flexible, and I'll explain a bit more about that. But that's what we're seeing with PowerPivot, all right? It's amazingly fast. Before coming up here, I was speaking to a friend of mine about, a client, about motorbikes, and he said that when he got on a bike like this, it's a bit like being pushed by the hand of God. I mean, they are really, really amazingly fast, but they have all the technology underneath to actually make them easy to use. And literally, you can go, on this particular bike, it's got all these different riding modes. So, who was here at my session last year? Okay, so a smattering of people. All right, I have some old content and some new content, so you see a bit of both. Last year for TechEd, I turned 50 literally the day before TechEd, and on the spur of the moment, I decided to ride my bike up. And so, obviously, it's fine on open roads. That's like highway mode. There's enduro mode for off in the dirt. I got to check the traction control out when it hailed on me on the way over the hill trying to get to TechEd. It was good. When I actually got to TechEd, I had some friends park my bike for me. They did a pretty good job. In fact, a lot better parking job than I did on the way back. So even the most technology-advanced motorbike has some limitations, and I think PowerPivot probably fits in that. What do you reckon? All right? Incredibly fast, there's all these things, but there are limitations. Maybe knobbly tyres would help too. So I had a bit of fun. So what is PowerPivot? PowerPivot is a free add-in to Excel. You download it, powerpivot.com, download it. It's an add-in in the current version of Excel. In the next version of Excel, it's actually built in. And if I have time, I'll show you that towards the end of the presentation. By the way, who here is using PowerPivot already, the current version? Cool, so it's nearly half of you. Fantastic. All right. Anyone using the new version? Okay, it's about five or six of you. Fantastic. Okay. So, for those that have seen this before, I have to keep a little bit quiet. But I still think this is the best way to show you a little bit about PowerPivot itself. So one of my clients looks after ATMs, and the Victorian government said to them, we'd like to know how much people are spending in gambling establishments, because I think you're pulling the ATMs out of those gambling establishments. So you can see I've got the PowerPivot ribbon here. It was part of the add-in. If I have a look at PowerPivot under the covers, what we have here is the data that I downloaded. Now, I asked them for a flat fixed file format. Anyone know why I did that? It's fast. It's really fast to load. Do you know why that was a bad idea? No. PowerPivot can't load fixed length files. So I pulled it into SQL and then munged it around and then pushed it out again. All right. And what I did was I grouped by the date, the card, the masked card number, the terminal, and therefore I get the number of withdrawals that were made at this particular terminal by a person. Then I've linked that into the ATMs themselves, and I've created a date dimension, so that hooks in also. So because they're interested in basically they needed some banding for the information, so I've created a calculation here. This is a bottom-up calculation that you can do in PowerPivot. And all this is doing is anything greater than 1,000 is saying 1,000, otherwise banded into lots of 200. Okay? So you've got one calculator column there. And so what we can do, if you're observant down the bottom here, it actually says 24 million rows, so it's about 7 months of data there. I can scroll through those as those a few thousand rows. All right, it really is the hand of God. In fact, it's been, I think, Amir, one of the product developers, said it's biblically fast, was how he put it. So hand of God, biblically fast. So let's see how fast that is. Now, I'm going to sort by the number of withdrawals somebody did in a single day, and I'm going to ask for how many you think someone went to the same machine. I'll give you a really big hint. I can see six on the screen, so the number's bigger than six. Any guesses for people that haven't seen this before? I don't know if you have. 20? 12? 30? Man, these guys are the best guesses. All right. Let's see how long it takes to sort. Well, not long, apparently. Sort in the right direction. Largest to smallest. 27 times. Somebody went to the same machine 27 times. They took out $840 at $2 per pop. I don't think they were thinking very clearly. Let's see how much they took out. Largest to smallest. $15,000, one ATM, one day. 15 times, $1,000 a pop. I didn't even know ATMs did that. You guys knew that? Some of them have individual limits, but not day limits. So anyway, that's what that was. So we're already finding out interesting data. So obviously, we now have a diagram view with the current version, so we can do the relationships between these things, just like you do in SQL tables. So that makes it nice and easy for people to hook up those relationships. And so if we go back into Excel, and under Power Pivot, you click on the pivot table. In fact, before I do that, you can select one chart, two charts, four charts, and I'll show you how those work in a moment. So if we click on a pivot table, existing worksheet's fine. Okay, so we're now talking to Power Pivot, the in-memory tabular database, and I can click on withdrawals. And when I click on withdrawals, what it's doing is it's actually creating on the fly a calculated column and adding up those withdrawals for me. It does a default behavior when I click on it, so it's actually added those up for me. So if I set the format for that, so that's a bit nicer. Okay, some of the withdrawals is now this. And so I can look at ATMs and look at the nature of business, for instance. And I can sort that. Where's my sort? Dead to A. Okay, hotel or gaming. No huge surprises there. Now, obviously I've got dates in here, so I can put month into a slicer area. What else can I do? Now, the thing I love about Power Pivot is it's agnostic as to these things. So if I look at a transaction and look at the withdrawals, we've added it up, but you could also use it as a slicer. So literally, if I pull that into the slicer area, this is now the individual withdrawals. And there's a guy that did 27. Oh, hotel gaming, not really a big surprise there, right? And in fact, you'll find that pretty well all of those, pretty well the high numbers, ones with gambling. There's a couple in there that aren't. But I reckon down the back there's somebody having a bit of fun with it. So what I did here was created the slices in the same way you saw just then, and then just used native Excel functionality. Oh, that was a double click. Double click, drill through, now works in the new version. Accidentally or not. So this is just a native functionality where instead of displaying it as sum, you're actually displaying it as a percentage of column. So let me show you where you do that. Under field settings, summarize by, show values as, and that's percentage of total, column total, as opposed to the raw values. And then we did some conditional formatting. So that's under the home. You highlight what you're interested in, go into color scales. I usually use this and then change the color later, and I've colored that up. All right. So now that this is actually hooked up, obviously all of these things work with it. There's 35 million rows, we're going through it like it's a few thousand. So it's working pretty well. Um, This is the sort of thing I like doing for demonstrations for in the real world. I'm not as convinced it's as useful, but what this is over time and those same bands we created. And again, we can look at different types of organisations and see what the pattern is over time. It does. Oh, Gentlemen's Club. They're cool. Let me talk about Gentlemen's Clubs. Remember when I said you had that drop down and you do the charts? This is what you get. You get four charts, and then you get slices that are already hooked up to those charts. And if you put the slicer in the categories, what it allows you to do is do comparisons. So I'm selecting a club with gambling, a club without gambling, and a gentleman's club. So I've selected three. And so now what we have is the sum of amount. So that's the spread, if you like. This is the withdrawals per ATM, club with gambling, having the most. And down here is the average amount taken out per transaction. Gentleman's club, what, that, about $250? So, I don't know, $220 for a cigar, maybe? Oh, all right. A hard audience. There are the ATMs. They've seen it before, probably. Okay, I think that's it for that. So we saw those demonstrations. So I'll cover sparklines in a minute. We did the banding, you saw that. You saw conditional formatting and the fact you can have multiple charts. Under the covers, what it did was created another tab with the data. And then that data is actually feeding the charts. So that's how that sort of works. I'm going to be really annoying. There's a whole bunch of people still standing up the front. Can where the spaces are from about halfway back, can you make a little bit of space for the people at the back, please? You know who I'm talking to? Everyone. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And because you're moving for me, and the girls thought that was just such a fantastic presentation so far, they said you should throw out some koalas. Now, I went to the US. Oh, 2 to 1 guy. Lucky bastard. So I went to TechEd in the US. And I forgot my koalas. They wound up in the hotel room. I did the same thing this time, but the hotel room wasn't in another country. So it was much better. All right. So because I travel a lot, I need to put things in context. So this is how I showed to the US audience where Australia actually sits. You do know North is just a... Did you like that? Yeah. It is just contextual after all, isn't it, right? And so, yeah, they appreciated that. So what I'm going to do now is go in high detail, and I'm going to cover everything on this slide. So where are we going? No, I'm not. Okay, there's quite a few things going on here. Let me summarise some of that for you by a friend of mine, Peter Myers. Is Peter here? Yeah, Peter. Now, can I use this? Please? Peter did this. How long did it take you to build this, Peter? Yeah. All right. What is it? Basically, it's talking about the semantic model. Semantic model is now the thing that sits across all of analysis services, and the old multidimensional project actually sits underneath that. And you've got two sorts of tabular projects or tabular databases. One is the tabular project in analysis services, and the other one is PowerPivot. So we're going to be doing this today. And so that what that has in it is basically it's a tabular database. It sits in Excel. It uses DAX, not MDX, and it's in memory. And you deploy to SharePoint if you want to deploy it. Tabular project, we're not talking about that, but you can take a PowerPivot tabular model and bring it in to a tabular project. So if your users are prototyping on your behalf, they're doing all these proof of concepts and they look popular, grab it, put it into a formal environment. What's the basically multidimensional, still MDX. What's the problem in when you publish up into Tabular? What's the issue with that? I can just grab it from Excel, push it straight into Tabular, work it, fix it all up, put petitioning on it, all good, bit of security, all good. What issue is there, do you think, with that? Memory? Actually, memory is actually a good thing because you're using the server's memory. So as long as you put lots of stuff on the server, then that's not such an issue. To me, it's more the fact that I can build the best cube in the world for my users, but they'll want something different. And to me, I call it decoration. Decoration is creating some products, and these three products I want to play with today, and those four. So I'm creating my own group. Okay? To me, it's decoration. It's not the core data. It's just decoration around the edges. Now, I can do the best cube in the world, but the user's still going to want to decorate it. That's why Power Pivot's so powerful, because you can do as much decoration. In fact, you can bring whole new data sets in and combine it. All right? Once it goes into the server, you can't go back the other way. All right? You can't push it back to the user so they can do the decoration. So I think that's a bad thing. The other thing that's fantastic about Power, about the tabular environment, is that you can go from multiple database sources, or not just databases, but any source, like OData feeds, which is RSS feeds in the cloud, like Azure data feeds, and even Hadoop, which I'd like to know more about, and there's a session this afternoon on that, I think. Sorry, Peter, for not doing this justice. Across the top here is how you access that data. So today we're going to be looking at the Excel part of this. If I get time, I'll jump in and have a quick look at PowerView. And there's a session tomorrow morning on creating models for consumption by PowerView. So I think that's it at that point. The language that PowerView speaks is DAX. At some point, it will do MDX. So if you've got traditional analysis services cubes, eventually you will be able to put the nice new PowerView feature on top of that. This is a trip I did a little while ago now, and I'll re-show these couple of slides because while we're on this trip, we came across this creek. Now, this creek, what's in there is that, okay? Now, they look like fish to you guys, don't they? They're not. They're our users, okay? They're jumping around. They're getting very excited. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get somewhere. They're trying to get, in this case, upstream. But fantastic. We created this fantastic fish ladder for them. Look at it. It's a work of art. There's about five fish in it. They are fish piling themselves up, trying to get upstream. Okay? So often I see these fantastic systems, and there's probably a lot of... how many DB professionals are there here? Developers and SQL people? Right, about half of you. Okay, so... So about half of us create these wonderful systems and then we don't really get the impetus with it because the front-end users don't get to actually explore that data as well as they can. So I think this is the bottleneck. And hopefully today what I'll do is show you a few examples of the sort of techniques you can use with reports to actually bring those databases alive. But it's okay because we had help, so we picked up our users and we just took them upstream. Eventually those fish grow up. Of course, the poor things get sliced up. Slices are very important, and that's we're going to cover a lot about that. This is now a tax-deductible item from Angry Koala, because I've used it in presentation. This is my kite surfing kite. And anyone from... I think there are people from the ATO here. So what my friends think I do, what mum thinks I do, what society thinks I do, what windsurfers... Any windsurfers here? Was there one? Hey, all right. Get into kiting, mate. Look, what I think I do, what I really do, in fact, I do have a bit of fun, and it may look like I'm just out there having a bit of fun, but in fact, I was, mums are usually right, and I thought I saw something. Now, I did this slide in TechEd in the US, and they took out my wonderful photo because it's copyrighted. However, when I was at Los Angeles on the beach, it was on a bin. So it's my photo. So it's all good. So let's have a look. Simple things amuse me. All right, let's go do some more stuff. So this is publicly available data. What's interesting is I did my last session and then a guy from South Africa actually saw it and then came up with his presentation, so now I'm using his data. So we're sort of doing things to and fro. So what have we got here? Let's go back into Power Pivot. Okay, so I've got a lot of information here about shark attacks, which is making me feel more and more comfortable. In fact, I've got data going back to 1554. That's nothing. For those at the back, that's BC, all right? So obviously the first thing I needed to do was to do some work on that. So I created it. Oh, great. What am I doing? Customer Experience Improvement Program. Probably not now. But thanks for asking. So let's try that again. So I created a time range here. So this is just a simple DAX calculation, which is really just banding up the information. You know, if it's BC, then it's a really long time ago, things like that. So that's just created some groupings for me. And then there's all sorts of information which we'll have a look at about what the attacks, the characteristics of the attacks. So let's go back into Excel. And let's bring down our ribbon. So Power Pivot, we've got a new pivot table. Existing worksheet's fine. And we go to count how many things are happening. And we're going to make that friendly format. Okay, so 4,900 things happened. And what were those things? Well, let's see where they were. So where's country? There's country. And let's go for injuries. Always good. Hello. Activity. Always good. And where's that time thing we had? Time range. There we go. Let's just look at the last 30 years. And let's sort this to see what's going on. So back into there, Z to A. All right, USA. 1,000 incidents. Australia close on the heels at 294. But that's okay, we know all about it. We know that some of them are fatal. Okay, 166 here, 50 over there. Okay, not entirely encouraging. Interesting, there is actually kite surfing here as well. Okay, I don't know. It still makes me feel a bit creepy. Let's take that off for a second. So what's happening is obviously these slices are interacting with the pivot table. But what I can do, now let me just change this to do top 10. That's fine. So I've got the top 10 countries now by whatever I slice by. So that all works for me. What you can do is if you click on this pivot table, you get up the pivot table tools, and under select, you can select the pivot table, and I can copy that. And I can paste it. And then I can say, I don't want country. I want to see, well, what were people actually doing when they had interactions with these sharks? Okay, we need to sort that as well. Okay, so the bit of information I've discovered so far is that if I'm in the water, I should not play with a shark. All right, so I'll keep that in mind. So what happened under the covers there is that when I copied and pasted that pivot table to another area, what it did was it took the connections with it. So these slices, what they're doing is they're acting on pivot tables. Quite a few of you are around in the days where we had pivot tables that weren't linked via slices, yeah? And how much fun we had trying to link them up and then they changed sizes. It was a nightmare. So now actually you can have multiple pivot tables and join them via the slices. So if we have a look here at the properties of a slicer, you'll see that you've got pivot table connections. So one of the things is it's probably a good idea to name your pivot tables because then you know what things are connected to. So at the moment we've got pivot table 1 and 3 in this sheet, and this particular slicer is connected to both of those pivot tables. That's how those charts work, by the way. When you slice on the chart, it's actually multiplying, doing the underlying pivot tables. That's all I'm showing you there, I think. So I covered the slices, showed you how they link to different pivot tables. The girl said, that was pretty good, Dad. Ah, rebound, watch out. They are a little angry. They're a little bit sharpish. By the way, if you do receive a koala, they are a little bit angry, but what will keep them friendly is if you wear them. All right? So on that trip, when we went around Australia, we came to Andamooka Cemetery. Who's been there? All right, way to go. This was fantastic because I was in the US and I had this slide and they're doing the scrubbing. And I walked into the room and quite a few people obviously at Tech and lots of presentations. I walked into the room and then there's, oh, Grant Paisley. Oh, whole room burst into laughter. This is why. And so they were madly looking to see what this was all about. And they said, yeah, it's really remote. And I said, yep, it's really remote. There's not much there. It's really, I don't think they even have a council. I think it's an opal society. Anyway, so the point of that is big is can be good, or people think it can be good, but things can be too big. So what we want to do, I think, is use spark lines because they're small and pretty. So how do we do a spark line? Okay, so if we look at these cases now, we can grab that year, put that in columns. And if we grab all of this data now, use the right key combination, and go insert, we've got these sparkline type things, but sometimes they're spark columns, I guess. So let's do a spark line, and we've got to put it beside them here. Just there, we go, okay. All right, so we now got some spark lines. You've got some options for these. We can change colors. We can say the highest and the lowest point, the last point. So you can mark all those sort of things. So they've actually become very useful because what I think in general is that people want to know what happened this month or what happened now, all right? Is it better or less than maybe last month? But then also, what's the trend over time? They don't want to know every single month and what the value is. Are we going up? Are we going down? That type of thing, all right? And spark lines achieve that very well. And the other thing, by the way, is I'll share that later. Okay, that's all good. We've got spark lines. Spark lines I like. In fact, I think that's all for that. So some other examples. There's some public data about people doing naughty things or nasty things around the area. And again, using spark lines to see where you may want to buy a house or not want to buy a house. This was interesting. I'll show you later who this client is. But effectively, I used conditional formatting and spark lines on the right here. And what this was about was they'd just been bought by another company, and they worked out there was some accounting advantage to selling off all their products, or selling off old products. So what you've got across the top there is quarter one, quarter two, quarter three. So that's 3 months old, that's 6 months old, 9 months. Make sense? And what they did was they said, for this product class, in the first quarter, I'm not going to discount it. But by quarter three, I'm going to discount it 30%, 30%. By quarter five, 70%. Make sense? So I just put a quick conditional formatting on there. And they discounted it 90% for the first quarters, and then they dropped it back to 30 and then back up again. I said, what the hell's going on? I said, oh yeah, that was a mistake. So basically, if you put things, conditional formatting and things, it is actually really useful. And it's the same thing on the right here. You basically get a visual pattern of what's going on. And so you get this setup. So then what happened is you link that information back into the real data, and then you can apply those discounts and see what the results are. If we applied this particular discount, and based on this, what were the results going to be? That was very successful. They said, that was really good, Dad. Ah! I have got one or two koalas here. At the front, this is the action, okay? Actually, I must tell you the story. So I went to the US, forgot the koalas, said, it's all right, I got koala droppings. They were Hershey Kisses. I got in a little bit of trouble. I think the only thing that saved me was I was Australian, so I thought I was strange, because I am strange. But yeah, it was not pretty in the front row. So anyone know what that is? Sorry? Motorbike. What's that? A buried postie bike. Okay, it's a Honda. Yeah, not quite as fast as my bike. Things are not always as they seem, is what I'm trying to show there, all right? So when you're using data and presenting data, be careful about how you do that. So let's have a look at that. So shark attack versus population. So it was all very well laughing at the USA guys because they had the highest number of shark attacks. However, they probably have one or two more people than we do. So I thought, okay, so to be fair, what I need to do is I need to get the population data and then I can do a ratio. Make sense? Something like a percentage probability. Excellent. A corrupt workbook. Always good. And believe it or not, I actually have a whole spare machine if I need to use it. Just amuse yourselves for a moment. Computer says no. Always good. In front of a crowd of people. Come on, behave. I know, I've got a big stick. If it does it again, I'll jump over to my other machine. It worked at 2 o'clock last night. You're trying to sleep, Glenn. All right, let's see how we go. So what we've got here is the population, and let me show you how I got that into the model. So I thought, oh, that's easy. I'll just go and get the list of populations from around the world, and that'll be great. You just link it in. We'll be done in a few seconds. All right, there are a few challenges. First challenge being this machine. Come on. Get everyone cross their fingers. Hey, all right. So what we have here is the country populations. Great. There's a country or area. There's the year. Trouble with the years was it's in 5-year increments. Damn, my stuff goes down to back to BC and it's every year. So that doesn't match. All right, so that's a bit of a problem. What about the country names? Okay, well, that's not even close. All right. So now I've got these two sets that I want to join together and it doesn't look like that's going to happen very well. So what I did was back in here, I created some mappings. I said, okay, well, that's Australia and this is the Azores, and so I created some nice mappings. I did the same for the years. I said, well, this year is in this 5-year band, if you like. And so now, I pushed that back into Power Pivot. So back in Power Pivot, I then linked those two mapping tables back into the source shark attack system, okay? And that means that I can now join the two tables together, the country population and the shark attack. And the way it is joined is using a calculator column called year country. And year country is basically getting the related value from the other and then concatenating it with the year. All right? And then I actually did get a relationship, which means that back in here, I can sort by probability. And we're doing a lot better, so to speak. Not better in the way that we really want to be better, I guess. And of course, we can look at fatal injuries to see how we're going there. Mind you, there's some other places I'm thinking it's probably not going to be as good to kite surf at, like Fiji and Solomon Islands and things like that. But the point I'd like to make there is that even though it is really neat and we can combine data from other sources, this actual environment isn't that well suited to doing ETLE type of things. It's much better if that's done for you. And that's why I think about half of you were like database type of professionals, why this is such a great place for us. Because we can organise the data, we understand our hooks in, and we can link that in a lot more easily. I only have 140 slides, so we're all good. They're all Peter's. This is one of my another client, and they rent out computer equipment. And what's happening here is this is the same, exactly the same information displayed in 4 different ways. And so what you'll see is that this is just everything added together. So this is what's out for rent, and I'll explain in the next section how we do that. But you'll see here that the average price, medical and scientific equipment has gone up quite a lot. Services is dropping down, PCs and networks bubbling on down the bottom here. If we look at the percentage share of their overall portfolio, you can see that services is dropping through the roof, PCs is coming up. And if you look at relative dollars, so that's between each other. Because a lot of the time you look at things like sales going up to Christmas, well, everything's going up. So what you really want to do is, how is this compared to something else? And that's what this one is showing. And you see that really services is flatlining and the others are all growing. Make sense? So use the right thing for the right, use the right measure. Yeah. So point in time reporting, I'll show you next how you do that, banding and the right metrics. Girl said, that's fantastic. Hope you got some more koalas, Dad, because I really enjoyed that bit. And who hasn't got a koala yet? Oh, I couldn't reach the back of the room, almost. By the way, the girls said crocodiles are actually more dangerous in Queensland than sharks. Is that right? But I couldn't find any data on that. Age payments. So this is where we're going to talk about that point in time reporting. Okay, so you've seen, killed a koala. And another one. By the way, Glenn and I were over at this session, and I got to the end of the thing, and sitting on the front seat just there was a peeled koala. It looked like Terminator, I swear. It was actually, on the way up here, I went through the machine thing. She goes, what's in there? Because all she could see were springs. So it's koalas. So she let me through. Okay, in order to get, you've seen me lots of times actually show you where I'm using data inside of Excel and pushing it through into Power Pivot. In order to do that, you take the data, and that can be from other sources or just in Excel. You actually have to set it up as a table. So you format it as a table, pick a nice color. So now it's a table. It's important that you name it. In this case, I'm going to call it Days Late Band. And the reason you want to name it is because the next step in Power Pivot, I'm going to push that through by creating a linked table. Creating a linked table pushes it down through to the Power Pivot engine part. Okay, these two things are acting together. All right. Now, all things being equal, that should come through, which it has. So this is the Days Late Band has now come through. And what I did earlier is in the payment section, I created a Days Late Band. And that's, you know, if it's less than 30 days, one, if it's 30 to 60, two. Yep. So that links into what I've created. So now that's how we link it. So to actually connect it, we go into the diagram view and we hook it up. So there it is, Days Late Band. Days Late Band key. Hook it up. Everything's good. We're ready to go. Before I leave this, there's a koala in this. Is there anything unusual about that set of relationships between what we're playing with? Sorry? That's brilliant. The date's sitting all by itself. Anyone know why? Besides the fact, it's not part of the demo where I hook it up, by the way. It's got to stay disconnected. That's the trick. Why would it be disconnected? Anyone seen this technique before?
Slicing.
Sort of. Okay, no one saw that, did they? The reason we do that, I call it the disconnected time dimension. There is no relationship to payments, all right? And what you do is in this table, which is at my utility table, I created a calculation. The calculation says whatever I'm slicing by, whatever I'm selecting, take the maximum of the key, the date key, all right? So if I pick 2005, it's going to be the 31st of December 2004. Make sense? Or I pick a month, it'll be the last day of the month, the actual physical day. All with me so far, all right? Pretty simple DAX calculation. All right, so back in payments, I've got at the beginning here something called outstanding amount. This is where you have to pay attention. Okay, here's your first serious bit of DAX, if you like. Outstanding amount equals... Okay, outstanding amount equals the sum of the paid amount. So we're just adding it up. So the first part of a calculate is just what the expression you want to do something with, right? The second part, the other parts, if you like, there can be multiple of them, are filters. In this case, we're filtering the payments table and we're saying where the invoice date is less than the closing date key. That's that one. That's that measure that we had, yeah? Or the payment date key is greater. So in other words, I've got this date dimension with a date in it. Give me all the rows out of the table that span across that, all right? Now, what other uses? Well, let me show you how that works. So in effect, back in Excel, let's just get this running. Let's hide that. Click on there. We want invoice late band is now in here, which is great. We want the band name in columns. We want to sort that the other way. Actually, make it a bit more colourful first. Design. No, sorry, this one. Come on. There we go. I'll do it, make it blue. Now that's looking pretty ordinary. So what we have to do is also sort this the other way. So these are the most outstanding. And you see this particular company has actually got their outstanding things under control. All right. Now, what other applications do you think you could use this for? And I was talking to, is Len in here today? Hey, there's Len. I was talking to Len earlier. Len, you're about to get a personal koala because Len, your session's next, isn't it, Len? Yeah, so Len's session's on big data. I want to know about big data. And one of the things I was talking to Len about was the fact that they have information about long-running queries or queries, okay? What's a query do? It starts here, it finishes there. So if we use this technique, you can actually at any point in time see what queries are running. Okay? Same thing for projects. Project starts here, finishes there. There's lots of things that have a time component where this technique can work. It'll work really well. Does anyone find some use for that one? Yay! Some people. Excellent. All right. I think that's it for there. So I've showed you how to do the point in time reporting. I showed you how you actually apply banding into the situation. And the girls, of course, said that was fantastic. Hands up. People down the front cover their faces. Are you ready? This is going to be dangerous. Okay. One of the beaute things that you would have seen from the video, or the people here a bit earlier saw from the video, was I do spend a bit of time gallivanting around when I go places. In this case, it was Whistler on the way over to Tech Ed. And this is some of the tracks that you go on. I didn't go on this particular one. That's my friend Tom. This is in Whistler itself. And that really was a vertical wall. That's not a terribly exciting shot. It was exciting about 3 seconds later when I hit a jump at the wrong angle and actually hit a tree. In midair, and that hurt. So the neat thing about that is they've got professional photographers that sit up there. It looks like I'm bathed in light. It's actually a flash just on the tree, and the photographer's way back, and he takes the photo, and it's a remote flash. And so really, very cool. So I was right in my element when I did some work for Rebel Sport. So before starting with Rebel Sport, we got some data from them. Just some sales data. And the beauty of this, of what we did, was that they gave us some sales data, and in the sales data was some postcodes. You know, when you go into a store and say, where are you from? I'm 2158, or where it happens to be. They collected that. All right? So I happen to have, at great expense, a roll-up which takes a postcode to a region. And I have the names of the regions, and I have whether it's country or metro. Make sense? Okay. So what that enabled me to do is do this style of report where I have all the normal slices for sales, and if I click on pink, because I like pink sometimes, one of the bits of information that is in here you'll see is red is metro and blue is country. So these are the top stores by sales of anything that was pink and split between country and metro. Now, they didn't have that information. That was my decoration, okay? So your end users can decorate this stuff. Or you, if you're trying to impress your boss or peers, or if you really want to make better use of your data, decorate it, make it look good. By the way, this is interesting information in here. To be politically incorrect, I can click on triple extra large. And I don't know, any of these around here? For people from Sydney will recognise some of these places. I'll read that. Penrith, Queen Street Mall, Campbelltown, Chermside, Pacific Fair, Parramatta. Now, very probably politically incorrect. However, if I had a store in that location, I probably would want to stock some larger sizes. Okay, so there is some reason for doing this. It's not politically incorrect. It's all good. Okay, I think that was it. Let me just show you Power Pivot, how it looks under that. Going for time. Good. Okay, fairly straightforward. We had the sales, we had the header and the detail, the products, region. It all worked pretty well. It didn't take very long to set up. We got the gig, which was great, right up until the time they got bought by another company. And then it sort of slowed down quickly. So I showed you combining other information. So that's the decoration part of it. We covered that. And it wasn't a huge amount of effort to actually get that up and running. And what we're finding is with our clients at the moment is that we are using Power Pivot a lot up front. Because what you do is you do these rapid iterative processes with the clients, and effectively you're prototyping what you want to do for real, if that makes sense. And also the user can actually use something almost straight away. Okay? We have to stress that it's not easy to refresh and all those sort of things. But what you wind up with is something that's a lot closer to what's going to be useful to your clients much quicker. And the girl said that was really good as well. And it's unfair if just that side of the room. So what do we do once we go in there for a bit longer? So this is what I was talking about, the use of the spark lines. You see down the side here, we've got a whole series of spark lines. What I did was I created three separate spark lines, which the colors corresponded to the top three in the graph just here. All right, and I'll show you in a minute how I achieved that. So what you can do, for instance, if I click on cricket, by the way, that whole product function, that was something that I created for them. Because when you looked at their products, obviously there were things that I called sport-related, okay? Things for netball, we had shoes as well as shirts and things like that. So they sort of cut across the whole section. So I took their product classes, if you like, and then decorated it with something called sport, or product function in this case. And you see that we've got year-on-year comparison here. So this is the same week last year, how we went. And then this is the same thing in graph form. And then we've got the top three stores and how they went. And this guy's just a Wenduri or whatever it is just blowing everyone else out of the water. And then at the moment, I've now only selected one function, so we only see one function here. So we do the same for AFL. You'll see, first of all, that nothing too strange there, but we're going to see a lot of Melbourne stores that have the most number of sales for that. Okay. Now, you notice each time I'm doing that, there is a little bit of a pause. I can't remember how many million rows we have in here, but actually under the covers, what it was doing was populating every store and every week with data. And the reason I did that, was because the top three rows here, I populated into this section up the top, and that's what's feeding the graph. Because if I fed the graph directly off the pivot table, I'd have 100, 200 lines. Okay? Make sense? What you also notice is we've got this guy down here who sold 2,900 widgets. If we drill in on that, we'll see that they were magnets. So they sold 1,500 magnets in Darwin, Amart. A bit unusual. Okay. So again, you can very quickly explore the data using these technologies. It was all good. We found all of those. We knew they had magnets. Girl said, man, more koalas. All right, I keep trying the same place, I reckon. I'm going to peek down the front, right over. Oh, you're with me. Now, for those that saw the early part, what I'll do, I'll play the video I had as people were coming in again at the end. It was sort of a bit of a celebratory of the fact I turned 50 last year, and my brother's a video guy, so he put the thing together for me. So that's actually kite surfing, snow kiting, I mean. And literally there's a group called SUCK, S-U-C-K, Sydney Uni Crazy Kite Surfers. And I was once at Sydney Uni, so I joined that group, and a few weekends ago they said, we're going down to the snow to go snow kiting. I went, great, I'm in. I skied almost all my life, so that part was good. A bit like you guys, a lot of you people have played with data almost all your life, so we understand that. And then I've been kiting more recently for quite a few years, but I'm quite good at that. And then I combine those two things together. And what it allowed me to do is to go up into this backcountry. What you can see at the top there, has anyone been snow kiting? All right! This is big koala for you. That's my card. That's awesome. It is unbelievable, isn't it? So basically, this is up the top of Threadbow, so you catch the lift up with everyone else. $32 for a single lift. Better than 110, I guess, for the whole day. But when you get up there, the whole place is open to you. So this is a big kite I've got. It's a 21 square meter flight surf. It was only about 3 to 8 knots. And that's Mount Kosciuszko. I did 55 kilometers in about half a day. All right? Those two things together are just amazingly efficient. Like literally where you started, you had to go uphill and into the wind. And it was just like, chit, 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 and you're off. Okay? So a power pivot with your guys' skills, understanding data and going with that, then using power pivot to combine it, you can just sort of go anywhere. How's that for a segue? Woo. All right. So I thought it was a good idea that I start selling cars. So I'll show you some of the results of my car sales. So let's have a look at that. So this is a fairly traditional view. I guess you guys have seen this sort of thing before, where you've got year to date and this year compared to last year and sales, and we've got leads and walk-ins. So the users are pretty comfortable with this sort of look. We can create that very easily in Power Pivot, and I'll show you in a minute some of the calculations. But that all works well. Obviously, I can select on a particular region, and now you'll see how many Civics that I sold in the northern region versus X-Trails, etc. So that's all pretty straightforward. But what I did here is this is what effectively is a granularity of the sales data. And what that is whether it's like fleet or government, so it's that driving it, what region it is, what model I'm selling, and then over time how I'm going. Now, see anybody as a koala in it? That's set to June 2012. I select May. This is now reflecting May information, but this didn't change. Why? Why didn't that one change? I showed you this.
It's from January to December.
It is from January to December, but how can it be January to December when I've only selected May? Sorry? It's not because it's inside the parent year. What it is, all it is really, it's not that exciting. I just didn't connect it. That was fun though, wasn't it? So when I click on this, it doesn't affect that pivot table because it's not connected to that pivot table. But all of these things are. So if I clicked on the northern region, this now is just the northern region. So that's how I've gone for my sales over time. Now, those of you that are observant would have seen that this is actually quite a nice visualization. I like it because I did it, I suppose. But what you can do, if you click on that series and right-click on it and something actually happens, which is good, I can click on Format the Data Series. This is actually the Actuals data series, so that's not the one I want. So if I click on the target series, which is this one, you'll see that it's overlapped by 100%, so the things are on top of each other. And then what I did was I set a border color to solid and a border style to 8 points. So I made the surrounding bigger. All right? Who can tell me what the issue with that is? What's that? Makes it longer. Who was that? You never say that to me. You ready? Oh! Oh! He's done it. Back corner of the room. Sorry for the guy on the first throw. Holy dooly. Jeez. Sorry, guys. Where was I? Yes. Basically, it's artificially inflating the budget figure. So I'm just hoping the client... I mean, I don't notice when I'm looking at these things. We did the same thing for leads. Same sort of idea. Same for floor log. That's how many people are coming in and actually taking test rides, things like that. And you'll see what I did here. I thought it worked quite well when you filtered it by the target. Sorry, sorted it by the target. And then you get this effect where things are doing better or worse than target announced. And again, it's all interactive. So it's quite a nice environment for doing that sort of thing. So Angry Koala has been doing quite well with that stuff. Sold quite a few cars, mostly Camrys apparently, Civics. I didn't show you in the actual spreadsheet, but these are the tables that are feeding the graphs that you saw. Okay, so instead of having them on separate tabs, which is what PowerPivot does when you say create four charts, I just put them in one place. And those slices that you're clicking on the front page are actually under the covers, slicing those, and then the charts are coming off that. Okay, that's the setup we had. Now the interesting thing about this is when I set it up, I think it was about 11 different data sources. They were different different types of databases. We had flat files, we had Excel spreadsheets. We're able to put this together fairly quickly. And then what we're doing is we're backfilling it with automating some of those things. So very quickly you get up, get running, users actually have something, they can publish it into SharePoint. By the way, I'm not doing any SharePointy stuff here, right? It's just, don't ping me on your evals, right? It's just Power Pivot. When you take this, you can push it up into SharePoint. That's sort of down the track. By the way, let me explain how that works. When you push it up into the library, SharePoint says, oh, I've got one of these great Power Pivot reports. I'm going to jump into the back, I'm going to physically pull out the backup and I'm going to restore it on the server. Okay. Now, when a user comes in and uses Excel services and pushes on one of these slices, under the covers, it says, oh, quick, put this into memory. And then it actually does it on the server. And so it's using the memory on the server. The things hang around, I think, for a couple of days by default. But obviously, if you get more things, they sort of push down out of the wagon. That was showing you the calculations, which I didn't show you under the covers, but obviously in the calculation area, you've got all the DAX formulas, you've got year to date and month to date, and they just, away you go, pop them in. More koalas. Who hasn't got koala? Lots of people with koalas. They were pretty excited at this point, I think. All right. This part I'm a little bit excited about because I got some people in Redmond excited about this, including one of the developers who said, we should put this into the product. I thought, yes, that would be great. So let me show you what I mean by that. All right, we're just taking this to a slightly new level. So we'll see how we go. Okay, I apologize in advance. I hate AdventureWorks demonstrations because you see them all the time. This is the only AdventureWorks thing in here. And the reason I did it in AdventureWorks is so that I can give you guys a copy when I put it on my blog or whatever. All right? So that's why it's in here. But it will work in any environment. So this is just some tables I pulled out of AdventureWorks. Obviously, I can click on things. The slices all work. Everybody's happy. It's all good. Now, I don't know whether you know, but under the covers, what's happening here is that Now, what order shall I do this? Let's do it like this. Excuse me. Under the covers, power pivot has this connection called power pivot data. If we open that, see this definition just here? That's just a connection string, and it's talking to the in-memory cube, in-memory tabular model, I should say, sitting underneath. So I can just grab that and copy it. Thank you, I have that. Cancel out of that. I'm going to paste it in here. All right, let's wrap the test so you can see it. Okay, so I've got a copy of the connection string. All right, now we need a connection. So go into data, and I'm going to get from SQL Server. By the way, this is how, I didn't show you how you pull things into Power Pivot under the covers, but you've probably seen that thing before. You just hook up to whatever, load it straight in, similar to this, but this is going into Excel. And I go to AdventureWorks, product category, next. Actually, give me a sec. No, I didn't put it in there. Well done. Power pivot measures. Copy. Paste. In the right place. Paste. Finish. And you cross your fingers, wait while SQL spins up for a minute and gives you a whole lot of rows. There you go. Not looking very measure-ish so far. All I'm doing is just creating a connection, so we've got a connection to something. Now what we're going to do is go to grab that connection string and this DMV statement, and I go back into data, into the connections, into this guy, bring up its properties, in the definition, say, no, not that, I want this. I did that to me last time. That's all right, we have backup. I won't paste for some reason, it did before. There's a few features of this machine. Okay, put that in there. All right, that's looking all right. So I've taken the same connection string as pivot tables used to talk to Power Pivot. I put that in. It's not a table anymore. It's actually set that to default. And I've got this statement. This statement says select the measure name from the DMV MDS schema measures. All right? And I've only brought back things that are visible, and I'm going for the cube name model. So basically, if I could have just said select star from the schema, I would have got everything, but I only want this particular thing. By the way, if you don't change the name and you put it in leave it as measure underscore name, the thing blows up. It's a reserved word. Okay, so if you're playing with DMVs, because you can bring in anything in, just be careful of that. So click OK. Yep. All right, so I now have, from inside Excel, gone into Power Pivot and interrogated the metadata about Power Pivot. And I've pulled back the names. Yep, basically pulled back the names of the measures that are sitting in Power Pivot. Which means that I can go into Power Pivot here and I can push that back into Power Pivot. Because I can, if I click on the right thing, create linked table. Okay, everyone with me so far? All right, I now have, back in Power Pivot, a list of measures that are in Power Pivot. All right, okay. I don't need to connect it to anything. It's another one of these things that just got to float in space, and that's cool. So there it is. So back in here, in Excel, in the pivot, there we go, thank you. Okay, fine.
our demo. Let's refresh it. Okay, do we have, we do, table, power pivot measures. Measure name. Let's put that as a slicer, why not? Okay, so there's a slicer with some measures in it. I can click on it, nothing happens, of course, because you're it's not connected to anything, right? So, how can I make use of it? Has anybody heard of pivot table OLAP pivot table extensions? Okay, you download it, it's a free download, hook it up, it allows you to put actually calculations within a pivot table. And so, if I open that up, you'll see that I've created a calculation called measure value. And MDX is still alive. This is an MDX statement which basically says, take the name of the measure, so string to value, take the name of the measure, and basically you get the value from that measure. So I'm going to add that to the pivot table. All right, so now I've got something called value. You'll notice if I select ship sales amount, it's the same. So I don't actually need that anymore. So we'll take that out. And oh.
Come on, that's worth a round of applause. Because that is completely generic. Okay, I can do year-to-date things to that. You can do all sorts of magic now. You can create dashboards and basically on the fly just click on the measures to get that to work. The disadvantage is because it's a calculation in the pivot table itself, you can publish it to SharePoint, but PowerView won't be able to consume it because PowerView doesn't know about it. It's sort of outside its sphere, which is why I'm hoping the dev team do put this sort of functionality into the product itself. I think that'd be really cool. So that's all I wanted to show you there. By the way, I've run out of time, so I won't jump back in. If I create a new measure, I just refresh it, and that'll turn up in there. So that'll all work on the fly. Okay. Oh, I've got a call. I don't think I'm going to take it, though. All right, so this is showing you how we did that. The girl said that was a really cool demo. In fact, that was such a cool demo. My wife said that was really good, and she got into the act as well. She hasn't had as much practice as the girls at jumping, so I've got to work with her. Oh, what else did I throw? Glasses or something. Awesome. Sorry. I might need that back. We got a couple of minutes. I need to show you this. It may take a couple of minutes. I need to show you this. Has anybody heard of a guy? So this is Super Dashboard, obviously, because it's called Super Dashboard. And because I was so successful at selling cars, I decided that selling native wild birds was going to be more profitable. Neville gone. Oh, there he is. How did he get down there? It's not quite what I was expecting. And so you will see that I sold, if I look at sales, dusky wood swallows, $128,000 worth. And I can change what week I'm looking at, and this will change the data, dusky wood swallows again. Canadian goose, Australian pipette, I'm doing really quite well. I can change this too if I want to look at the number of visits or the sales quantity. I can scroll up and down through these values. So that's all pretty cool. Now, also, down the bottom here, I've got this setup. So this is saying here's the comb-crested jacana and the blue bonnet point. And these I can change on the fly. And this is a little search thing. So if I look for the goose, you'll find that this is a distribution. When I'm changing these, you'll see that it's actually changing the distribution. So they're actually all the values. Now, this didn't take me very long. It didn't take me very long because there's this cool character called Jandu, and he's got a whole lot of Excel stuff. Now, the bad news is this doesn't work in SharePoint, all right? But it does work in thick browser, and all I did to get it to work was he had a data area and a whole lot of calculations based on that data area. So instead of having normal data, I just said, come on, view, formula. I just linked it into a pivot table. So when I'm clicking on these, I'm just changing the pivot table. The pivot table's updating the data he's expecting, and then he's doing all the magic at the back end. So take advantage of what's out there on the internet. Into it. What was that? All right. This is some stuff we did in terms of predicting. So what we did, you know about full text search? Full text search, it creates tables underneath, and it's like an auto tagging system, so we took advantage of that to predict accounts coming out of a bank account. We put that into Power View. And what, no, we don't have time to go into it. The new version of Power View is actually, Power Pivot is inside of Excel, and you get Power View inside of Excel 13. I got a bit more time than I thought. And you can drill down, literally. I'm double-clicking. Oh, so let me go back. So the disadvantage, the only graph they gave us was a pie graph. I hate pie graphs unless it's only two segments. Three, maybe. Four, forget it. Okay? Here we've got all these brands. Way too many. So what I did was I selected just Ford and Holden. So this is giving me the market share between Ford and Holden across the groups. And the reason we were able to hook this up is because we pulled the longitude and latitude of the postcodes. And that's what we do. You just drag that into the longitude and latitude. You put the hierarchy in here. You put the measure there. You put the legend, and that's it. It's done. And when you drill in, this is all like an interactive map. And you can zoom in, and this is now into the area around here. And you can double-click, and you now get the individual dealers and the market share between the two things. Okay? And this is all done now inside of Excel, so it's very powerful. What I'm showing here is it doesn't have to look like Excel. Turn off the headers, turn off the lines, okay? Spend a bit of time with the colours and things. It doesn't have to look like Excel. This is, by the way, something you can download. It's a Twitter feed done in Power Pivot, and you put in the tags, and it'll run off and get it for the last couple of days or hours or something, give you back some data. So when you're in there building these systems, remember, use the slices. It's your best friend. Use spark lines, so nice small visualization tools. Use the right data and make it look good. Okay, there's a whole bunch of resources there. Now, if you go to powerpivot.com, that's where you download it from. The Casper has got a great blog. Rob Colley from Power Pivot Pro. It's got lots of things. Chris Webb's another guy to keep an eye out for. Does some good work. Another MVP like myself. Tomorrow morning, there's Exploring PowerView in SQL 2012, instructor-led lab. There's one this morning. There's another one tomorrow morning. And there's some really neat hands-on labs in there as well. So it'll be worthwhile getting to that. And that's all the questions. So that's it from me. Before I let you go, we, as presenters, spend quite a lot of time obviously putting these sort of things together, and I really, really appreciate it if you could do the evaluations, for one, and secondly, if you could just spend that extra couple of minutes to put a comment in there, we really appreciate it. The guys here, we all read them, and so, again, that's not just for me, for other people as well. Just spend that little bit of time to put in the extra comment. And by the way, unlike one person that once said, 1-1-1-1, best session I went to in the whole conference. And I went to the guys, oh my God, he obviously loved it. He thought one was good. Anyway, so I think the other end is the thing you want to do. Uh-oh, I've just put that in their heads. Okay, with that, I'll finish. You can wander out. I'll be around if people have any questions. With that, thank you very much. To do it, and but outside
get to the good part,
a bit of fun, and this is my office. Welcome to my office.
I'm